Well, today we're at the starting line, what is entitled Five Manhood Promises, as we look at a quest for authentic manhood. And as we start out, I kind of want to help you out. It is Valentine's Day today. And I thought of these pickup lines that just seem to be so effective. Listen to these, guys. Are you Google? Because I've just found what I've been searching for. Or, your hand looks heavy. Let me hold it for you. Or, even if there wasn't any gravity on earth, I would still fall for you. Or, do you believe in love at first sight, or should I walk by again? Or, do you have a map? Because I just keep getting lost in your eyes. Or this one, I hope you know CPR because you take my breath away. This last one is so corny, but it, you know, must be somewhat effective. It's been heard. Is your name Gillette because you're the best a man could get? I hope that that's helpful today on Valentine's Day. I was thinking about this whole idea of a quest for authentic manhood. Why would we be on it? Well, it seems that men don't know how to be men today. And there's some basic presuppositions on this journey. First of all, manhood is in a state of confusion. Guys do not know what a man is. Deep down, they want to know. I mean, back in the 90s, there was Promise Keepers. There was the Million Man March. Guys were showing up for these big events because they wanted to have an understanding. What does a man look like? What is expected of me? I don't know anymore. There's pain. There's loneliness. There's this now, there's an increase in technology, but there's a decrease in any sort of intimacy. Guys are only going so far in conversations with other guys. And I would sense that that would be a frustration for women as they watch, hoping that a man would step up and do what he ought to do. And so as you think about that, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Man is in a state of confusion. Secondly, confused men create major problems. Most social problems rest at the feet of men. I had a friend who did jail ministry, and they had an opportunity one time to get cards. Our church supplied Mother's Day cards, and those were gobbled up. We gave them stamps. We made it possible for these inmates to send cards to their moms. And I asked him later, I said, well, what about next month? That was May. What about next month, Father's Day? And he said, we won't need to do this. Most of these guys have no relationship with their father. Many of them hate their father. And that's probably why they're there. There is this understanding by people that have done studies that people that have father issues, there's groups that literally have father's issues, daddy issues, and that has an effect on where their life goes. Marriage problems, many of those can be tied to a dad who never taught how he should be the husband that he is, the father that he is. Couples that break up because after 25 years, they never really developed a relationship. And that can go both on both sides. We understand that. But dads, we are called, men, we are called to be the leaders. And so confused men create major problems. Thirdly, confused men settle for less. They would look at life and they would think this is life. They got into a standard way of living, no higher calling. There was an anthropologist named Margaret Mead who said these words as she spanned human history in different cultures and different societies. The central problem of every society is to define appropriate roles for its men. A psychologist named Rollo May, he had picked up on this generation ago. He made this statement way back in the 1950s. The clearest picture of an empty life is the suburban man who gets up at the same hour every weekday morning, takes the same train to work in the city, performs the same tasks at the office, lunches at the same places, leaves the same tip for the waitress, comes home on the same train each night, spends a two-week vacation at the shore every summer, which he does not enjoy, goes to church but does not really know why he goes, and moves through a routine, mechanical existence year after year until he finally retires at age 65 and very soon thereafter dies of heart failure, possibly brought on by repressed anger, though I always have the suspicion that he died from boredom. That's heartbreaking, but that's because confused men settle for less. God has called us to more. Fourthly, today there is no lofty vision of manhood that is compelling. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. It's after that great love chapter has gone on about describing what is love. And it says this in verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." It'd be so good to be able to sit across from the Apostle Paul and think and ask him, what did you mean? What were the ways of talking like a child? What were the ways of thinking like a child? Well, we could surmise what he meant. Kids have no responsibility. Kids are thinking about just for the moment. Kids are wanting to just play games. And doesn't that sound like, if we are not careful in this society, boys just being boys? Yeah, they still want to play games. I know of guys that are married and still wanted to be in three softball leagues, never growing up, never realizing, no, it's great playing softball every now and then. It's great to do these activities and have fun. But you are becoming a man. And so you will put away childish things. You're going to have the boy in you die, and you as a man will become what you ought to become. And so today, there is no lofty vision of manhood that is compelling. And then lastly, presupposition number 5, the Bible has insights to all of those things above. And the reason we are here, the reason that you're listening to this, I hope, is to become a better man. And why the Bible? Because it's great literature. It's time-tested wisdom, and we need its help. We've been many times looking to a lot of other sources for our help, and we need the help that the Word of God brings, because that's what makes all the difference in the world. So how did we get to this place where there's a crisis in masculinity? What are the historical roots of this? Well, first, there was the Industrial Revolution that occurred at the beginning of the 20th century. And what happened there? Well, sons and fathers no longer worked side by side on the farm. Dads left home each day to work in the factories. Sons lost the ability to see their dads at their best and now saw them exhausted after work. Sons lost the vital modeling that came from their dad at work. Moms took over the role of raising, educating, and disciplining sons. And moms are great. We love our moms. But dad, when he finally got home, was exhausted. It was rare that that wasn't the case. And he was working hard. We can understand that. I was thinking back to my history, my life. Not one of my teachers, me personally, was a man, except for Mr. Fleischman, the PE teacher, and I loved that. Sunday school teachers, many of them were women, and when there was a man, it was like, wow, this was great. And those women did great. They did a great job, both as teachers and Sunday school teachers. I saw the preacher, the pastor, but many times it was women that were pouring it. And in fact, I look back on the people that poured into my life as men, Mr. Mefford, Mr. Duncan. I remember learning how to shake a hand properly, that firm grip instead of a dead fish. That was a telling thing for me. And so as a result of what happened with the Industrial Revolution and that kind of way of doing life, where did we as guys get our cues on what was expected? Well, to be a man, we got them from our friends, our guy friends. And that's pooled ignorance. I'm not learning what I truly need to learn to be what I need to be. So the Industrial Revolution was one historical event. Secondly, World War II. That was the second major event, World War II, and that further added to the disconnection between fathers and sons. And there were good traits in that. Those good traits included sacrifice, duty, a commitment to hard work, but the bad traits included taking parenting too lightly, becoming emotionally disconnected from their sons, and working too much. And so we had a situation where, yes, that greatest generation were all that they needed to be, but when Johnny came marching home again, he brought warlike or soldier-like ways of trying to raise children, and it didn't work that way. And so in his mind, I got a task, I'm going to do my job, I'll provide. And what did that lead to? It led to the 60s. It led to kids that weren't resonating with dad and rebellion. And then lastly, feminism. You know, the idea that we are equal is biblical. Men and women are equal, but we are not the same. And what feminism tried to do is make the roles of men and women identical. As a movement, it brought women many new rights and opportunities. When I look back on historically how women were viewed, it was a travesty. There's no doubt about it. But then to get to the point that we ignore the natural role of men and making it harder for a father to pass along a clear concept of what it means to be a man to his son. That's the sad part. And we see today the results of it. I talk with enough guys. I respond to enough guys. We have an understanding that they do not know what their role is. They don't know what to do. And so hopefully as we continue on through these weeks talking about authentic manhood, a quest for that, we're going to have things happen here. And these are the five promises that we can look to. And first of all, we're going to have a clear definition of manhood. What is manhood? Secondly, we're going to develop a new manhood language. The boy should die. We should be servant leaders. Those are the kind of things that should be coming across our communication instead of what many times is masculinity. Masculinity is not toxic. True masculinity is a beautiful thing. Thirdly, we're going to make significant personal discoveries about ourselves and be willing to do that and address issues and grow as men the way we ought to. And then we'll make new friends as we're pursuing that common goal. That happens when any time a team is doing what it ought to be doing. And I hope that we as a team are going to work together on this. I hope that you're going to come side by side with other men that want to get serious about being the men that they need to be. And lastly, we're going to walk away with our own personal manhood plan. That's my prayer. That's my hope as we are on the starting line concerning a quest for authentic manhood.